Father, we come to you again and we thank you for this day, Lord. And we thank you for this book we're fixing to open, and we ask that you give us the ability to speak it clarity with clarity today, and at the same time, Father, with power. And we yield to thee, and we thank thee for the privilege for the weeks of study in this message, and I pray that you would be honored, that Christ would be glorified, and dear Father, as we speak, our hearts would be refreshed and be blessed today. And we'd see where we're at in this area we're going to be talking about today to help us. Well, you don't write things to belittle us. You don't write things to hurt us. You write things to direct us and to help us in this life until we get home in glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Philemon, verse 24. Philemon, verse 24. Is this on good? Okay. Philemon, verse 24. Philemon, of course, is written by Paul to Philemon. Paul's a prisoner in Rome. And, of course, Philemon's a Christian in Colossae. And so here, he's writing on the behalf of a fellow he's led to the Lord in Rome. His name is Onesimus. Onesimus had robbed Philemon when he was there and had to flee the city of Colossae and therefore ended up in Rome. Then Paul led him to the Lord. Now Paul is writing a letter back to Philemon to receive this young man as he intercedes for him as a newborn child of God. In verse 10 he says, I beseech thee that for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, he led him to the Lord. And he said in verse 17, whatever he owes ye. Now, he's sending greetings to you from me. He's my runner, you might say. He's the one I've sent to go back to Colossae to give you my blessings and the word that I have to write to you. And he said in verse 17, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he had wronged thee or owed thee aught, put that on mine account. And I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it. About, he said, I do not say to thee how thou owest me, unto me, even thy own self besides. And so then he says he wants him to make arrangements for him to have a place to stay when he gets there in verse 22. Then verse 23 will pick up, and he said, there salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Then he says, Marcus and Aristarchus and Demas. And Lucas. And watch these next two words. My fellow laborers. In other words, Paul had these men who worked with him, supported him, prayed with him, and his ministry was their ministry. They gave him their all because they saw Paul giving himself to the Lord. Now, if you will, I want you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 4. In Colossians chapter 4, and we're going to hurry to get through this, in verse 7 down three verses, Paul mentions men who are very important in his ministry. He says, Tychicus declared to you, who is a beloved brother, and he said, and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. This is one of these that were supporting Paul, Tychicus. And he goes on and he says, that whom I've sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your heart. Paul's in prison, but he's sending to Colossae information from God through him by whatever the Lord has laid on his heart to be a comfort to them. Then he said, notice, with Onesimus, a faithful, beloved brother who is one of you. He'll make known unto you all the things which are done there. Then he said, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner. Watch how he defines these men. You're going to see what I'm leading to in just a moment. Watch how you find these men are still serving God. They're still serving Paul. They're there with him. I mean, what Paul said, that's it. No one changes it. No one backed off from it. He knew he was walking with God, and that was it. And so he sends him to Greek now. Then he says, there's Marcus, sister son to Barnabas, and he come unto you, receive him. Then he said, Jesus, who is Justin, in verse 11, and he said, which have been a comfort unto me. He said, Epaphras, who is one of you there at Colossae, servant of Christ, salute you always, laboring, fervent for you. Notice the different things he said about these men and what they were doing. And there's probably much more, but just short it down. These men were involved with what God was doing, even though as a worker of Paul. Then notice he says, we get down to verse 14. He said, Luke, the beloved physician, is here with me. And watch, and Demas greet you. He had nothing to say about Demas now. He's not saying Demas, my fellow servant, my fellow laborer. He's not saying Demas that I've seen. He said, the one that are here, Lucas, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. There's something happening here, folks. And God has written it for a purpose to understand this man, Demas. Now, turn with me, if you will, the second Timothy, and we'll look in chapter 4. In 2 Timothy, and in chapter 4, Paul again is down at the end of his life. He said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Henceforth laid up for me a crown of righteousness, as you look in chapter 4. That is where the fact is that he said, look with me in verse 7. He said, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course, kept the faith. Henceforth, that is from this time on, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly to me. Then watch this. For Demas has forsaken me. You see the process? Demas has forsaken me. Why? He said, having loved this present world and has departed into Thessalonica. Now, here's a trend. I want you to think with me this morning. God gives us people in the Scripture for us to look at and learn by. I've got a chair sitting over here, and this is where Paul and Demas were together serving God. This is God. Paul was in the center of God. He was in prison, but he's in the center of God's will. And this chair represents that. All these men that are helping Paul at this time are here. Things are going great, even though Paul ended up in jail and soon would lose his life. But he was in the center of God's will. These men were helping Paul and sold out to God through working with Paul. And notice, Demas was also there. Paul said, he's a fellow laborer of mine. He's a co-laborer. Here, Demas was really living for God. And then the next time you see, he says, and Demas greets you. Something has begun to take place. This was just a little bit of time, if any time, between where they were at in Philemon and where they're at here in Colossae. And then all of a sudden, you get over to 2 years later, and Paul writes to Timothy his second letter. 2 years have elapsed from the time he was here until the time he says now, Demas has forsaken me. Why? He said, because of the world. He is turned for the things that have to do as far as the world. Loving this present world. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to talk to you about Demas this morning for a few minutes, because it would behoove us in these days we're living with such blessings of life to understand we can very easily get caught in the trap and not really understand what's happening if we don't let God speak to our heart. You think God wrote this to belittle Demas? No, sir. You think God wrote this for any other reason to try to really put him in the spot? No, he wrote it because it happened, and he says it can happen to any one of us. And we have to be very, very careful. Now, watch with me. Talk about Demas. When reading through the New Testament, the letters of Paul, you cannot help but notice the many people that he mentions that actually worked with him towards the end of his life. And his epistles are full of that. And especially when he got to the end of his life, the end of his ministry, there was much more involved. Most of the time, for those that are mentioned, we are left to wonder just what type of people were they. I go through and I see there's Aristarchus. He's mentioned some 5 times in the Bible. He appears to have been a faithful Christian, even been a fellow prisoner with Paul, according to Colossians chapter 4 and verse 10. Epaphras was another, was a faithful fellow servant who was a fellow prisoner with Paul also in Philemon 23. Then you have Marcus and Lucas and Titus and Demas with others that Paul mentioned as companions and fellow laborers of him when Paul was in prison at Rome. Philemon 24 gives us that. And you go through this and you see he's a fellow laborer. What's the word fellow laborer means? Fellow laborer comes from two Greek words. One is son, S-U-N, that means together. And the other is argon, which means work. You put these two together and they speak of working together with someone. We would use it today as someone being our co-laborer. You're our co-laborer in the Lord. We are co-laborers together here for the purpose of what God has given us as a mission, as a local New Testament church, to glorify the Lord and get the gospel out to this known world every way that's possible that we can do just that. But I want to focus on Demas. Not much is known about Demas, but what is known is very sad. Very sad. And I wonder, if I had been anywhere that God could put me in the scriptures, what would he say about me through someone that he was really using like Paul? Do you wonder about that? You should. I say you should. Will you say amen or not? Because, ladies and gentlemen, we're in the same life. We're in the same, on the same planet in a world that the world lures us more so than ever before, more so than what Demas had in this particular day. Paul mentions Demas three times. Yet there is much to see of this once faithful Christian who evidently, in 2 years' time from the time we see the writing to from where he leaves there and gets here, it's an amazing thing that in 2 years' time he has deserted God Almighty. Paul mentions him three times, and he serves God to quit serving God at the end of his life. Now, if Peter is known as the denier, and if Thomas is known as the doubter, then Demas is known as the deserter. Because he deserted Paul, and by the way, that means he deserted the Lord. I mean, you don't find nowhere else God said anything where he repented. Whatever happened. And then, by the way, this is a child of God. It's showing us, hey, we can't think that all of a sudden that because we're saved, well, we just got everything together and we just don't have to worry about anything. We better be sure that God wants us to know this book will keep us close to him if we're saved. It'll show us how to get saved and show us how to stay close to him if we do get saved. And again, Demas was a believer and in a Gentile church, a Gentile Christian who was converted to Christ at the church at Thessalonica. Demas means popular. He was a very popular man. He was a popular man in the secular world, as far as we know, and God carried that attribute over in with him into the Christian life. This shows that Demas was a well-known and well-respected Christian by other Christians in the church where he was at Thessalonica, and now went with Paul when Paul went through there. One thing is for sure, Demas became well-known and more so popular as a backslider than ever before, because every time you mention the word Demas, you think about one who was a deserter. When I mention Thomas, whatever you think about him, you come to your mind a doubter. And yet God brought that doubter to the front of Thomas, and we see he did get right with God, according to what Jesus said in John, in the Gospel of John. So forsaken means to abandon, to desert, to leave, helpless, to let one down. I have two quick points. The last one's real long, so we'll be here a good while. Amen. But the first one is simple this. Number one, I want you to note Paul's salutation. He mentions Demas along with Luke and others at this time. In Philippians 24, Colossians chapter 4 and 14, Philemon 24, he says more about how he was serving him. When you see in Colossians, he says, yes, you know, Demas greets you here. Demas sent his greeting along with a host of other Christians who were with Paul at this time during the imprisonment. And if Paul ever needed somebody, he certainly needed him while he was in prison. He knew how to encourage himself in the Lord, but thank God Almighty, he also knew what it meant to have someone there he could see. And he shows that to these men that he listed in his writings back to these letters. We do not know much about Demas. We don't even know when he got saved, but we do know at this time he was Paul's fellow laborers in Philemon chapter verse 24. He was a faithful servant with Paul to the cause of Christ. Now consider the spiritual status of Paul. To be a faithful service and a fellow servant with labor with Paul, you consider the status that Paul had at this time. What a compliment that was for Demas. For God to put this in his word with Paul, That was a compliment that he would be able to be used with Paul, who was one of the greatest writers in the New Testament, wrote more of the New Testament than any other writer, and yet here he has the blessed event to be with Paul. Even though he's in jail, God is using this man for the glory of God. And he's fixing to go with his head on the chopping block. And all of a sudden, some reason or another, while the others were there and did support they could, Demas left. Paul said, "Forsaken me." Demas was in good company over here. I mean, listen, you think of anyone else in the New Testament at this time, Paul was the one that God was really sending out to Jew and then finally to the Gentile with this wonderful message. He's in good company. Second, I want you to note the danger of spiritual retreat, though. When I see this in Philemon 24, Paul writes it to Demas, writes of him sharing in the work when he described Demas as my fellow worker. Yet in Colossians 4:14, he said, "And Demas greets you." Period of time. Here, as Paul writes his work with a gallery of Christians serving Christ, he has not one word, hear me, not one word of commendation about Demas. Not one mark, does he say, other than Demas greets you. Maybe Demas said, "Paul would tell him I greet him too." There's nothing at all about him when you see what he said in Colossians like it was when he wrote Philemon. Something has taken place in his life, and Paul saw it. And by the way, you can see this happen anytime you're close to God. In a pastor in this country close to God can't see when things are not what they ought to be sometimes with different people who serve God. I mean, after periods of years, I've seen people get on fire, serve God for years, and now you can't even find them. You can't even find them. They're not serving God today. And by the way, this is what this is telling us. But we all could come to this. We need to listen and say, "God, help me never be a Demas. Help me, Lord. Let me check me on the way somewhere. Don't let me get from there to there. It's a long ways from over here to here. It didn't happen to snap at a finger. It's a long ways because it's a gradual step before we get over here." And he says he's forsaken me because he's gone back to the world. And it's interesting. It is to me. Boy, I'll tell you what. Take a look at inventory in my life the last week or two just looking at this. Could it be that demons are already showing signs of the Spirit which came out later in 2 Timothy 4? This present world is not sin in itself, folks. You know, sin's in this world, but the world itself didn't bring it. Man brought it. Satan brought it. And sin, this present world, is not sin in itself. Sin takes place when it takes the place of God in God's children. And here, 2 years later, he has gone back into this world. I mean, he has forsaken. And Paul, it said he's loved this present world. He said he loved it. Some had to bring that about. Notice, question, when did this worldly spirit begin to take hold of Demas? When he was over here where he was at. How long did it take Demas to get from there to where Colossus was? We don't know. We do know it's about 2 years from there to back in the presence of the world. You can figure that up in the timetable. You can see those things that take place. When you look at it, from Demas the fellow laborer to Demas the deserter and much more. You see what happened? Demas bartered away his friendship with Paul for some worldly goods. Whatever they were. The Bible just says he, having loved this present world. Earthly things on our mind will carry our heart away from God if we're not careful. We're none of us strong enough not to take inventory and say, "Lord, please let me have spiritual understanding about things, and may I control them, may they never control me." With God's help. Now, I think it is the child of God that chooses to backslide on the Lord, if they backslide. God will not keep one from making that type of decision, but one will regret it in time. God could have stopped it, but he won't. He will remind us the consequence of such decisions in this particular life. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? There's an old saying that says a ship is safe in the ocean as long as the ocean is not in the ship. And there's a great truth of that. Also, that A Christian is safe in this world as long as the world's not in the Christian. You know, this world is what it is. God's going to destroy this world, not because he didn't make it good, because sin came in by Satan through his image, man. And now, because what sin has done, this world will be destroyed one day in the near future. He could have stopped it, but he don't. But he does remind us there is a consequence of decisions we make in this particular life. Demas. God would not make you and I do what he wants us to do. If he wants us to do anything, he'll not make us. He'll request it. He'll make us supply everything that's there. But one day, if we don't do what he says do, he'll show the cost that we had to pay for not doing what he called us to do. If we do what he says do, then he will show the blessing come in turn, which will not only be here, but in eternity too. Demas, no doubt, was a great Christian here. Something happened, though. Out of all of these I've read to you, not another one is mentioned like Demas. He's the only one that God speaks about at this particular time. When saved, one does not wear, notice, the handcuffs of Satan anymore. When you and I got saved, God set us free. I'm free. I'm free to serve God. I'm free to be found faithful. I'm free to obey God. I'm free to be in the house of God. You have free to come here. I have freedom to come back tonight. I have freedom to come Wednesday. I have a freedom to study this book. God set me free when I got saved. Some people say, well, you put you in a straitjacket. Well, it's the most blessed straitjacket I've ever been in, I'll tell you that. I'll tell you, God has set us free, folks, and we can make decisions to either please him or find out that it displeases. And God lets us know he sees it all. He rewards for obedience, and he also says there's a consequence, even for a child of God, for disobedience in this life. The reason Satan rages today is because we have found freedom in Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know, but three times Demas is mentioned. One, when he was on fire for God, serving Paul and serving God through Paul. Another, when he seemed that something happened and Paul watched a guarded position. He uses guarded language for him to some degree when that happens. I mean, there is nothing in this world that will guarantee, ladies and gentlemen, that Christians will not be carnal sometimes or not be careless Christians at times with Christ living within us. We're not on the ball all the time. We have a power in us, but the source that's there sometimes, I don't know, this flesh is very, very powerful. We have a big hunk of lust, jealousy, high temper, a lot of other things that can sidetrack us. There are many things contending for the priority of our life today, and sometimes we do not have victory over them. The only way not to have trouble in this world is not to be born physically. Because if you're born physically, you're going to have trouble in this world. And perhaps more when you get saved because of Satan's fight against us. You see, evil things are called carnal things. In the Latin, that means fleshly things. This type of flesh is not the kind of flesh that you talk and see in the body here at all. No, our bodies are just poor houses that you and I live in for a period of time. Our bodies are just like a poor horse that we ride until it crumbles under us and we go to heaven if we're saved. Did you know that? Your body is neutral. It will not do anything at all unless you make it or allow it. And then it'll be through your mind, through your will. God is never upset with our body. He's not upset with our body. I mean, listen, when you've seen, we've had the Lord take a lot of our folks home lately. And I've not seen any life in our body yet that we bury. It don't do nothing but decay. But I tell you, when you're in there, the soul and spirit's in there is active one way or the other, and so is mine. Your body is neutral. It cannot do right or wrong without you in it. It is your spirit that rules the body. It's like an automobile. An automobile is neutral sitting out in that parking lot. You got the brake on it, it'll stay there until it rots or rusts, I should say. I don't guess automobile rot, but it rusts. You leave it there long enough for a number of years, it'll deteriorate. It won't say, boy, this is a bad place, I need to move. It won't move. It'll have no mind of its own at all. And it's neutral. It makes no decision for itself. It is you and I who control the car by our will, by our spirit, and by our intellect. So we must be delivered from fleshly lust, rebellion, from being contentious. We live in a world of suspicions in our particular day, more so than ever before. Everything out there is trying to get our attention, lure us. There's people that God's trying to save right now. He's helped them over and over to hear the message, and for some reason, religious or otherwise, they walk away from. What a shame to walk away with the only one that can really help you in this life and make you ready for heaven when you leave this particular life. We must be delivered from this fleshly rebellion, this contentious life. It's nothing uncommon for one to say, you know, there's always someone trying to get me or make me look bad or lie about me or get my job. We have it all the time. Look, if there's people just get around you, and I have all people talk about all the time. There's certain ones trying to get at them where they work at or whatever. You can fill in the blank there. But I know this. These people who try to bring God down to our level while trying to take him up to his level or take them up to his level. And that's what churches is so important for, to help us direct our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe this with all my heart, and hear me. Some people go to church sometimes and say, didn't we have a great time today? What did it do when you went out those doors? I believe this, and I've said, and I stand on this, any church service that leaves people more worldly than they were before they came in is a snare and is a delusion about life. We ought to hear something, whether we agree it or not, when we go back in that world, it will help us or not help us. Amen. Because we need that as spiritual beings as much so as this world needs Christ as their personal Savior. Faith in God is not just any God. It's Jehovah God who can change our way of living. And that's what he was seeing when we talk about Demas. And by the way, he can help us get closer to God instead of further from God. And the Holy Spirit has given us a deposit. Did you know that Demas had to fight the Holy Spirit of God to get where he got to? Did you know where he was at working with God and then to move from there and move for 2 years till he finally came to the place that Paul said, he's forsaken me. The world has got him in this situation. Here is where we seek to crucify our religion and put on the new man, even with our old failures at times. God calls, but he never drafts us like Uncle Sam used to do. I don't know, when I came along years ago, they were drafting, because I joined, but they were drafting. They don't have draft now. They may get to it one day, but Uncle Sam had the power to draft. God never drafts us to serve him, but he does call us. Amen. And we say yes or no. In God's kingdom, there's not one thing that God wants us to do at times that he won't do through us. But we're going to have to know what his will is to do just that. Go and let him work through us. And this is on a daily basis, not just every once in a while. See, ladies and gentlemen, there is no record that I can find that Demas ever repented or returned back to faithful duty of Christ. Never where he went back at all. He could have, and certainly Paul being who he is, no doubt. You think that probably Demas didn't know Paul wrote some of these letters? You think he didn't see what was there? We don't know. But one thing for sure, it was written in God's word, and Brother Money, it was inspired, wasn't it, brother? Amen. It was inspired. All scripture inspired. So therefore, you can mark it down. God put it down for a reason. And I can't help believe that 2,000 years later, he didn't put it there for me. Help me understand that I am not arrived yet, and it's very easy for me to be sidetracked with the lures of this world if I'm not careful. It's a warning, I think. Out of all of those there, this one man helped me be that I would be supporter of Paul in that particular day. See, the trap of glamour and lure of this world beckoned Demas away from God's work with Paul. Having loved this present world, that simply says to me, than God. He didn't put that there. But having loved, he loved him one time, having loved this present world more so than God. Sometimes you see people looking and they begin to think of things, whatever happens. And they simply say something like, you know, I just feel like quitting. If you knew me, I feel like quitting every service. And I've been doing it 53 years. You don't have to quit. Nothing wrong feel like quitting. Just don't quit. Amen? Well, that shakes Satan up, won't it? I got him now, boy. He's going to quit. He's going to quit. Sometimes I even sit down and write out my resignation just to fool him. I do. He's real to me. I just write it out. He don't know what I'm going to do. He don't know the future.
That's right.
And then I tear it up. I feel better. By the way, hey, if I don't know where you're at, but if you're there, write it out and then tear it up. Amen. Whatever it is you're going to quit, write it out and then tear it up. I'm talking about Demas. God helped him to flare in my mind that God can help me in my particular life. Did you know when he talked about having loved this present world, and God led me just this morning early as I was going over this, God led me to 1 John, and that's exactly, and when John wrote this in 1 John chapter 2, down about verse 15, 16, this is about 24 years later after Paul's what he said to Timothy about Demas. It was 2 years that he was there, 2 years later he's there, and 24 years later after he wrote about in 2 Timothy 4, down about verse 10, it was 24 years later that Paul wrote, that John wrote this documented. Isn't it amazing? Watch, same thing that Demas did, God wrote in his word. In chapter 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, 16, 17, he said, love not the world, neither the things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And that's what the love of the world would do when you're where you ought to be, and suddenly it takes its toll. See, we can justify it. We can say different things about it, but analyze. And then he said, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life of the Father, but is of the world. And he said, I want you to know the world passes away and the lust thereof, and he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You see, here is laboring, here is forsaken. In my mind, I sat this morning and watched my life, try to go back through my mind. Have there been times that I were laboring? Have there been times that I have forsook some things? I'm afraid there may have been, if you be honest. And I find that God gives me great understanding. From serving God to forsaking God is a big step. It's a big step from here to here, ladies and gentlemen. And it happens in such a gradual way that we don't catch it unless God flags it. I think God's flagging that for us today. I think he's flagging our heart and say, look, I love you so much. Keep in mind, I'd give a person like Demas. I love Demas. I loved him. But Demas ended up sitting in the world when he could have been serving God even after Paul had died. And yet, we have no other record about him at all. For Demas, we can only say that what might have happened. Paul said, he is my fellow laborer. 2 years later, he has forsaken, he said, me. And in so doing, forsaken the Lord's work. Why? Having loved this present world, and it had to be more than God. So when I see that, I thought about, what about me? Let me ask the question, what about us? What about us? Have we loved this present world sometimes more than the Lord? What about us? Where are we at? Let me say, if you're not saved, you need to be saved first. If you're not saved, God loves you so much, you can't deny his love when you look at Calvary. But since this is to us who are saved, the question comes to my heart, where are you at? Where are we at? And he say, you as individual, are you here? Or are you somewhere along here? You're closer this way than you are this way. Don't think about this. If something here don't get your attention back, see, that's the world. If something don't get your attention back towards the Lord, you'll never get back where you're at. Because let me tell you something. If I don't listen to what God says here, that world will get me. It's stronger than I am. And I'll end up as a Christian making an excuse why I went that way, thinking God did it for me, when God in his word has shown me, like Demas, what I want to be doing. And I see that, and I ask God to give me wisdom about this. God did not write this to belittle Demas. He wrote it for us, his children, if we're saved, and that's only be his children. By the way, he wrote it for us in 2013, as much so as he did in the first century. Ladies and gentlemen, this book is powerful, and God has not left any stone unturned. It doesn't mean that we can enjoy the world. It doesn't mean that we can't have a good time in this world. It just simply means this: let it get no attraction to us that is better than God. God deserved to be first in our life. God deserves glory and honor from you and I who are saved. We need to understand He must be first, and He can only be first when we glorify Him. If we glorify Him, He will be first. If He is first like He should be, we will be glorifying Him. And we'll be listening. It's not that we got it together yet. We won't have it together completely until we get its new creation. All the new creation is everything it ought to be. But we won't have it together until we get home on the other side and get a glorified body. Then we'll really have it together and worship God just like it need to be. And also never will have to worry what we worry about in this flesh. But God says, I know where you're at. Now I want you to know there's a time that Demas was helping Paul. And Paul was pleased. And he said, he's a fellow servant of mine. He's a co-worker of mine. And then he said, later, Demas greets you in Colossae. Then Timmy said, 2 years later, Demas has forsaken me, loving this present world more than loving God. And by the way, that's the insinuation there if you read that. The question is, Lord, if I'm not saved, I'm not anywhere in this line. I'm just in the world lost. But if I'm saved, there's a centering point where God's working, and that's where I want to be. And if I'm here working, whatever, my calling, my case as a pastor, God has given me through the years some good people, because no one can do it at all. If I had to give account of someone someday or another, and sometimes I have to, I get people to call me, sometimes just for, I don't know how my name gets out there, reference, and want to know this, and want to know that. I get people all the time calling me that way. Want to know this and that about each person. What a joy when I can say honestly something that I know is true. I mean, true about their life and what they're doing as far as life is concerned. And therefore, that means they're working, trying their work around. In that case, it's not Paul as pastor, and it's because he's this church here. Paul was there in his day establishing churches. This church had already said, by the way, God gives people, men and women, to do things that they can't do. It's not a easy trip. It's not an 8 to 4:30 job. It's something that we do because it's a ministry. And we have to realize in our life as we come through this way, that we start there. God, help me stay there. And when I begin to fluctuate any way away from there, help me understand that God is doing everything He can to turn me. I may get upset with the person who tells me. I may get out. I may leave. That may be true. But at least God flags us in our life and gets us want to turn. Never find where Demas did. But we do find where Thomas did. Difference? Demas never, you find nowhere where he ever repented. But Thomas, the doubter, did. Would you stand to your feet, please? Our Father, we thank you again for the day. For this message has not been given to us for a harshness. It's not. Lord, in a gentle way, you're doing your best to coach us. Holy Spirit, you're so wonderful living in us. You're trying to get us to see things where we're at in this flesh, and only God has the answer. If there's one here today not saved, oh my God, please help them. Take a child's heart, like our other churches going on this time, a little child's heart, and just step out and receive Christ as Savior. They don't have assurance of that. The odds are they may not have it. And Father, we who are saved, though, this morning, this message is not, I'd rather not preach a message like this. I could just take it for myself. But Lord, I don't know what you're going to do, but I know this. There are some people going to be helped, either by the radio or by the Ustream just looking this morning, or someone that comes later and gets these tapes from time to time. This is a necessary message in the age of grace. Any church that preaches and people leave the facility and they don't see the need of a change in their life, at least changing in their life, then the service will not help them. If we come together this morning and shout and praise God and go back in that world and just live openly like we want to live, pleasing the flesh, it hadn't helped us a bit. You gave us, as about Demas, the help. Lord, if anyone gets any help, let it be me. My heart's desire is to be where I need to be for you. Dear Father, help someone today to see this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.